Well, hey there, Soul Fam, and welcome back to the Fire and Soul Podcast, the space to deepen your inner awakening and further activate your spiritual awakening. And I'm so excited and honored for our guest today. Ms. Isabel Tierney has become someone that I care about deeply because of the impact that she made on my life when I had the privilege to watch her give a presentation in New Orleans at the Transformation Leadership Council, which I'm going to share more about my story, my experience, and we got her here live. She's going to teach us the methodology that is changing thousands of lives around the world, and we're just getting started. But before we dive in, I am going to read her bio really briefly. It's always awkward when the guest is here. Hello, my friend. I love you. Let me read this because I want to really honor you for a moment. I'm going to continue to do so. Isabel Tierney is a licensed marriage and family therapist, stress management expert, and international speaker and educator. She holds two master's degrees, one in international relations from Boston University and another in child development from Tufts University. She also holds an energy healing certification from the Barbara Brennan School of Healing. I'm so curious about that. After running a successful therapy practice for more than 10 years, Isabel's journey took a turn when burnout led to the loss of her health and her marriage temporarily. In response, she developed a transformative methodology aimed at fostering a life of aliveness, inspiration, and joy. And that is exactly what we are going to drop into today for each and every one of you watching and listening. Isabel, welcome to Fire and Soul.
Oh, thank you so much. I didn't feel so awkward because you made the bio a little bit shorter. So I was like, okay, I can manage that. Okay, so I'm good. And you know what I really like about it? It feels really true. You know how sometimes you and I were talking earlier about promising, too many promises. And it's like really, I feel alive, inspired, and joyous most of the time because I've done this work for so long. So I'm grateful for the honesty.
Ah, well, thank you for being a truth teller in writing, you know, your own bio, or maybe someone wrote it for you. Yeah, it's true. Like, I have a knack, and I'm really grateful for this, that the people that we magnetize to the Fire and Soul Podcast are truly self-actualized, right? And of course, we're all human, but like on the path of just such integrity and authenticity. So this is another reason why I wanted you here, because I got to experience your magic and medicine in person. And before I share about my, you know, perspective of that, I'd love for you to just a little bit about how you got yourself, how you were guided to this methodology, what it is, and we'll just drop in wherever you feel called, because this is your floor for right now.
Yeah, thank you. So growing up, I experienced a lot of trauma, and as so many of us, right? I think though my soul chose to come into this earth to have as many as I could so that I could one day help people. And so I experienced physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, you know, basically a lot, abandonment, neglect, all the things. Mm-hmm. And at 14, I moved to the United States. I was born in Switzerland, and I developed promptly at an all-girl boarding school an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would all come together, diet all week long. And then some, you know, it became for me something that became an addiction because it was the way I learned to cope with my trauma. So while I'm struggling with that, I go and get two master's degrees. You know, on the outside, I am just this perfect human being, right? This perfect woman. I get married to this handsome man. We have three children. And, you know, I eventually get my marriage and family therapy license. But inside, because I'm such a type A, you know, part of my abuse really creates a need for control. Mm-hmm. And, I just slowly started falling apart because of burnout. I mean, I remember I'd go and see 8 clients a day, 5 days a week, and I'd come home and all I could do was like plop on the couch. I was always a good mom, but it was like, I could do just the bare, I could be good with them, but my husband got like nothing from me. My health got nothing from me. And so eventually it all fell apart, as for many of us it does, right? We need to be like kicked, not just tapped on the shoulder. And I was diagnosed with adrenal exhaustion, which took quite a while because, you know, this was 10 years ago. Nobody really talked about it. Now we do. Mm-hmm. And then Brian and I divorced. And of course, a marriage is more complicated than just one issue. But one of the primary issues on my end was this burnout and this, I just had no time, nothing left for him at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, I have to do something different. Like, because I didn't want to stop creating impact. Like I did, you know, like a lot of times I have to do something different. I'm going to just sit on the couch and watch TV. I didn't want that. I became obsessed with finding a way where we could still live a life that was alive, inspired, joyous, for me, creating impact, but that wasn't leading us to burnout. And every single friend and client I had could not find that balance, right? So many women, we burn out because we don't function on the same fuel that men do. You know, we don't function well with adrenaline long run. And so, you know, I just started researching and bringing together Buddhism and cognitive behavioral psychology, cognitive behavioral therapy and mindfulness, and just all the stuff I had already spent 20 years researching became all kind of brought together into this simple, simple, simple methodology. I took all these complicated psychological, scientific, and spiritual concepts and created literally a scale and three steps. Yep. And you practice the scale and three steps. And in the moment, you get out of stress into well-being. And in the long run, your life just becomes better and better and better and better. So it's really astounding what it's turned up to be after all that cooking, right? It's like the essence of all the soup.
It's so true. I love that you just said that. It kind of reminds me of like a caterpillar soup, right? It was like, wait, what is happening here? It's the metamorphosis that as you can look back and connect the dots, right? With the benefit of hindsight, I love that you said like everything was building to this moment and it will continue to do so, right? Like the evolution of your journey was so precisely perfect to bring you to this point where you can now help so many that need it, especially in our times where there's just so much polarization and so much rage and anxiety and fear being pumped at us nonstop and people don't know who to trust and what's what and right. And so all of that. And I love your methodology. And I was curious, is that the name? Like, does it have an official name or is it called?
The trademark is the Feel Good Life methodology because my brand is called the Feel Good Life. And what I love about it, and we'll see if we have time to talk about it, the work can be taught in a psychological, scientific way. So that's the Feel Good Life. We're always trying to feel good. That's literally an evolutionary imperative. But it can also be taught in a spiritual way, which I know you got a TLC. And I realized one day that there's only one letter difference between feel good and feel God. So it's also the feel God life.
Yes,
by
yes.
God, I mean peace, love, joy, the consciousness of peace, love, and joy, not the white man in the sky. Yes. And so it's really, you know, designed to help you feel more good and more God. And that's what it does. But everybody calls it the methodology. So, you know, nobody goes, I feel the like method. It's the methodology. And I really love that. It's like Byron Katie's The Work.
Yes, I love it. It's perfect. And it really is so simple in its premise that I think that if people were just to look at it from afar and not have access to you, at least for right now, I'd be like, no, that's too simple. It can't possibly be that effective. But I watched it become effective, not only for you in the moment when you shared, and we're going to get to it in just a second, but also so many people that were also invited guests like me that we were bonding over our nerves. And then we finally had a way in which to frame it in terms of conversation. Yeah, I was in the greens. No, I was in the red zone thinking about my talk or my presentation. And yeah, me too. And we found so much commonality and relief when we didn't have to pretend that we had it all perfectly figured it out and we weren't experiencing any nerves, right? So I want to just say thank you in advance. And then I'll specifically share about the story that I brought your methodology into my own experience in my bed in the hotel room. But let's talk on it. So how would you describe it? And it could probably, for this audience, it's more of a feel God methodology, but it's one and the same. Yeah.
Okay, great. So I want you to imagine a triangle, right? This is one of the things with it. You'll notice that the way this methodology came through me is through universal shapes and colors. So the universal shape of the triangle, right? Such a simple shape. So I want you to imagine a triangle that has the colors of a traffic light, red, yellow, green. And the red zone is what we call it, is the stress response. This is basically a map of consciousness. And the green zone is what I call the well-being response. It's when your nervous system is balanced. And so this work has two steps that create transformation. Awareness plus action equals transformation. So awareness is you look at yourself on the feel good scale and you ask yourself, where am I at on a scale of 1 to 10, or what color am I at? Oh, I'm totally stressed out. I'm anxious. I'm worried. I'm ruminating. I want to yell at somebody. Oh, I'm in the red zone. Once you realize where you're at, red, yellow, green, if you're in red or yellow, then you do three steps, which I'll talk about in a minute, to get yourself to the green zone. The green zone is where we want to live. It's where intimacy, love, joy, peace, like all the things I imagine your listeners want. I don't think there's probably any psychopath in there. You know, I try not to say everybody because, you know, there might be people who don't want to live in the green zone, but I'm making an assumption that your people do.
For sure.
It all lives in this state that really on a physiological level is a balanced nervous system. On a psychological level is you have your thoughts and your emotions are calm. And on a spiritual level, you're accessing what Andrew Weil called the God response, which is when you are in deeper brain frequency waves and you literally access unity. And that's accessible physiologically just by unwinding your nervous systems. It's just astounding to me.
Yes. Okay, beautiful. So what are the three questions when we find ourselves? Well, can you walk us through
the three steps?
Yeah, well, let me make sure I understand this correctly. So in any given moment, it's probably when we're triggered, right? When we're activated, when our stuff is up, that's when we're going to probably be more interested in a little inquiry, if at all, right? But it's like, where am I? Okay, ooh, I'm at a 9. I'm hot, right? Like, I'm ready to whatever. And what are the three questions that we would ask ourselves once we establish where we are on the scale of 1 to 10? 1 being the green, right?
No, it's the opposite.
The opposite.
And it's
okay.
Because think about more and more life force. That's how you can remember that it's the higher number.
Great.
The 10 is the bottom of the triangle. There's so much spaciousness and openness. So that's one of the big things that makes it the green zone is because we feel spacious. We're not constricted into fight or flight.
That makes so much sense.
So it's interesting. You say, do you wait to get triggered to do this work? It's like I check on my feel good level all the time because actually, the longer you wait to do the work, if you're all the way activated into the red zone, it is way harder to bring yourself to the green zone. So I say that we all have a baseline level, like a default level of where we live at. So let's say you are in the yellow zone, like you feel good enough, your life is fine, you have just a few habits you'd like to get rid of. Imagine if you're in the yellow zone, and then something triggers you, you're going to get into the red zone really fast, right? So the work isn't just about in the moment practice to get out of red zone into green, but it's all the time increasing our baseline level again and again and again, so that eventually you live at a 9 or 10 and not much triggers you. At this point, for me, not much triggers me into red. And if I do go into red, like I did at TLC, I used it. I move. I'm wired now. My system is wired to move really fast back into green. So I want to encourage your listeners, don't wait. Do check yourself all the time. Get to know yourself. Oh, every morning I wake up, I'm at a 9. Or every morning I wake up, I start worrying about my day. I immediately go to a 3. Oh, by the end of the day, I'm tired. Oh, I'm in the red zone. And then I'm likely to get into a fight with my husband. Like, get to know yourself. That step of awareness is what number am I at? And then if I'm in red or yellow, practice the three steps and get yourself to green.
Okay, that's beautiful. Can we talk about some qualities of each of the zones? Like maybe top three qualities of like, okay, yep, that's for sure. That's red. That's for sure yellow. And that is absolutely green.
Yeah. Red, reactive, impulsive. I can't keep it to three. Angry, irritated, unkind, disconnected from yourself, from others, from your body. You know, you're separate, you're feeling separate. And so everything and everyone becomes an enemy, like everything and everyone in the world. The yellow zone, we call it the meh zone. It's like, you're fine. It's like, you're fine. You have low level anxiety, you know, fine. You're fine. And a lot of people live in the yellow zone. It is not an extraordinary thriving life.
No.
And then the green is what I was saying. It's like, and you know, using words like peace, love, joy can be so overused, but it's actually the truth. Like I literally feel gurgling joy all the time. Like my relationship with my partner, where we got divorced, like the other day I was like, this is so crazy. He made a burger, right? He's a really good cook. And I was eating leftover the next day. And I was like, I can feel his care in the burger. I've been with him 39 years and we divorced. And now it's like the love is so deep and so profound that I feel this blessedness that I'm eating a burger that his soul made. I mean, it's like it's incredible. So this is not a bullshit. You know, this is not a thing like, oh, I'm just selling this program. It's like, I know it works.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about then the qualities of the green zone. So you say love, peace, joy, aliveness, I'm sure inspiration, some of these qualities.
Gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, gratitude, playfulness, humor, calm mind, feeling balanced, you know, like having choice. You know, the big thing about the red zone is you lose the power of choice because our frontal cortex shuts down in the stress response, right? It doesn't want us to think, wait, is this a mountain lion or golden retriever coming? It wants us to act now, think later. So it's fine if you're faced with a yellow shape coming down the hill, but if you're being faced with a bag of chips or a glass of wine, and it's like you act now, think later, like how many of us have had that? You're like, what just happened? I had committed not to eat those chips and I've eaten them. That's the red zone for you.
Yes.
The green zone, you recover the power of choice. You actually have space to be like, wait, do I want the chips? Do I not want a chip? Do I want to yell at my husband? Do I not want to yell? It's like you have choice again, which is to me what makes for a incredible life is to have
beautiful
choice.
Oh, this is so great. Of course, I'm so with you on this. So did I just hear you correctly that in the green zone, you have the choice and you might have an awareness around whether or not you want to yell at someone? That seems it would be more yellow zone, right? Because in green, you probably wouldn't have any desire to yell at
it's
anyone.
A really good catch. It's a really good catch. Foundationally, I'm in the green zone. It doesn't mean that sometimes life doesn't take me to the red zone, but because foundationally I'm there, I can pretty quickly see it and then have the choice. Wait a minute. Every time I'm unkind to him, it ends up really badly. So there's just, I have an overall capacity to choose more, but it's true. The three steps, right? Once you realize you're in the red zone, the first step is stop. Don't do anything. Don't believe anything you think or feel. So that's the, like, I don't have choice, so I'm just going to stop. The second step is slow down and breathe, right? Think traffic light. And you're slowly getting your nervous system through the breath into the yellow zone where you start recovering the power of choice. Mm-hmm. And then go for a feel-good habit. That's a habit that actually brings you to the green zone is the third step. Okay, I'm going to go take a walk instead of like being really unkind to my partner right now. So yes, if you're really in the red zone, stop is the first thing. You see, it matches the red of the red zone with the traffic light stop, which I love because you never forget it. You never forget this work once you hear it, right? That's your experience.
Yeah, for sure. And so I will share a little bit about mine. But before we go there, I wanted to touch base on when you took the stage at TLC. And you are a member of the organization, and which at that point I wasn't aware of. So my apologies on that. I thought you were also an invited guest. And so the night before, when you came up to me, we were having a conversation and you were like, you know, I think tomorrow I'm going to share that I've got some nerves. I'm just going to own it. I'm going to use myself as going through the process to display it in real time because the nerves are real. To take any stage in front of TLC members can be deeply intimidating for anyone, even if they are predominantly living in the green zone, right? So can you share about that journey and that decision? Because I imagine that would feel like a bit of a risk, but yet there was a beautiful payoff that I really want our listeners and viewers to get present to. What happens when we own our authenticity?
Oh, I love that so much. And I'm a very recent member. I just became a member in November. So you and I are not so far apart. Like I went to Belfast in August to try out the way you did. And then I found out, so this was my first event as a member. And I didn't realize what a big deal it was. This very well-known speaker, I won't say her name, came up to me that week and said, congratulations for doing that. She said, I can speak in front of 100,000 people, but I will, she's been a member for 20 years. She said, I will never present there. I was like, oh my God. Cause she said, everybody knows everything. So I would be scared to have nothing to teach them. Wow. So that was amazing to hear. So yeah, for days before I kept thinking, how do I want to enter the space, right? I had been told, don't teach them. These are colleagues. These are people who've heard everything. And so I was like, okay, do I talk about my mission? Well, everybody's got their mission there. You know, do I tell my story? And then the night before I realized I was in the red zone a lot because they're such incredible speakers. And I was the last speaker of the whole event. I was Saturday. And so I was like, well, just do the work. Just use you being in the red zone. So when I came on the stage, I literally right away began by describing my heart rate is beating really fast. My muscles are tense. I see all of you as the enemy. I have the story that Jack Canfield is going to kick me out of the group, you know? And then I said, and so I'm going to stop. And I said, slow down and breathe. Breathe with me if you want. And then I'm going to go for my feel good habit, which is to connect to each of you who I know who supported me. And in a few seconds, well, a couple minutes, I got myself to the green zone and then did my whole talk from the green zone, which was genius. Not only did I show the work in real time, but I also got myself to the highest state that I could get. And I think it's one of the reasons the talk was so powerful. So it was like a selfish act that was really smart.
It was so beautiful because to hear that level of transparency on a stage in the room, you could hear a pin drop, you know. I remember standing behind another invited guest speaker, Garrett, and we were just kind of like, wow, this is really intense in the most honest, truthful way. And I hadn't seen a lot of that level of transparency when people quote take a stage like as a speaker. And I don't know about you, and I'm curious what your thoughts are, just kind of a little segue here. You know, even taking a stage these days feels a little outdated, like the pedestal, put them on a stage and look at me. And it just like, I didn't even take the stage as an example. I was on the floor, even ground, right? That's what felt most right and aligned for me. But these were all the things that I was working out in my mind in order to even go, because I didn't want to be a part of anything that might have felt outdated. Of course, that was in my mind. I wanted it to feel really relevant to who I am today. So what was that like for you to get on that stage? And was any of that going on for you? Like, how did you go through that process of even taking the stage at all? I know you mentioned it's intimidating, but it's just, yeah. There's a question in here somewhere. I think you probably got where I'm going.
Well, I was really lucky because you haven't met him yet, but hopefully you will. His name is Barnett Baines. I met him in Belfast. He's been a member a long time. He was part of the movie What Dreams May Come. He's incredible. And he's like become like my brother. And so a few days before, he couldn't attend the New Orleans. And I was like, hey, can I run my presentation past you? Because I have no clue if these people are going to get this. And so when he heard it, he was like, no, Isabel, he's the one that said, don't treat them like, you know, don't teach them, right? Don't be one up to them. And you're giving them a methodology, a tool that this is what everybody wants in that room is to learn, to find a new, fresh way to explain what they've all been studying for 30, 40 years, 50 years for some of them, you know? And that's the biggest thing that I heard is I haven't created anything new. I have just put it together. I have just knitted it together in such a simple way that whatever modality you're coming from, it fits into the simplicity of the methodology. That's what's so extraordinary. You can be a Buddhist. You can be not spiritual. You can be 6 years old. You're going to get the work and be impacted by it.
No doubt about it, because of its simplicity. And of course, simplicity is brilliant, right? You think about the foundational, elemental, simplistic things in life that we just don't do. But if we did, we would literally earn self-mastery, right? Like drinking water, getting good sleep, exercising, the simplest things in life that we all say we know, but we try to go for. Ego wants to go for the complex concepts, like where you originally were thinking it needed to be, right? And it was like, no, wait, hold up. This has to be so simple so that it's universal, no matter what anyone is experiencing. They know a stoplight, they know the colors, right? And this is a process that no matter what, even if you're so in the red that you are like at the tippy top of a one, right? You can still become aware that, oh shit, I'm in the red. Okay, what do I need to do? Three things. So can you walk us through those questions one more time? And let's even slow it down so that anyone listening, no matter where you are, can just, and I imagine you would walk us through a process that how do we get present to our lives right now or utilize this when we need it?
Yeah, anytime. So it's funny, actually, just before I'm trying to think whether I'm willing to share the story, but just before I got on, I had to actually ask Brian to, to give me this room, which is actually a kitchen, because I really love this setup. Because I have, I don't know if you can see the elephants behind me. It's my favorite piece of art. And my office has much less good light. But unfortunately, that meant he couldn't do lunch and prepare himself for work. And so he was kind of cranky about it. And I just had to watch myself just to, like, I wanted to go into the red zone and be cranky that he was cranky. You know, like, can't he just do me a favor? You know, and I could hear him go, you know, and I was like, and so that I wanted to go red zone. It was really like yellow zone. And just want to say, like, honey, I asked you just for a simple favor. Like, couldn't you be kind? And then I was like, wait a minute. So the three steps. So stop. When we're in the red zone, our perception of ourselves and the world is distorted. Yes. You can count on that. Like stop, even if you're the one or two, like you were saying, and all you can do is stop. You've done a stupendous thing, because you're literally stopping neural pathways from cascading and creating the fight, flight, or freeze response that we're wired for. The stop is a huge piece. Mm-hmm. Stop. Mm-hmm. Hold on. I'm going to slow down and breathe. Mm-hmm. Hold on. I'm okay. Yeah, I feel really grateful. You know that he is willing to give me some of his time. And then, you know, in the green zone, what I did is I went upstairs, I put my makeup on, and I put music on that I love. That's called this guy, I Lose Control, this incredible song. Mm. And so by the time I came down, that's the way I could show up with him. Instead of, had I stayed in the kitchen, I would have been yellow red zone and kind of made like some probably passive aggressive comments, you know, about why he had to be so cranky. Like, you don't have to be so cranky. Mm-hmm. So it's all the time, you know, it's all the time. And it can be when you're really, really, really red and just you stop, slow down. And then if you're with somebody, like you were saying, I can say to you, hey, I'm in the red zone right now. I need a few minutes.
Yes. Right? That's what, like, I love the most about it, is that there was this relatable context for us all at TLC. We all were talking about red zone, green zone for the entire rest of the time that you, after you gave your presentation, right? Like, yeah, it was pretty wild. In fact, did I cut you off? I don't mean to cut you off.
No. I was going to say, it's fast. Like, no, I know it's like, it, and I want to slow down. It's like teenagers love to use it, and parents, because then the teenager doesn't have to say, I'm angry because you did this or this, or you know, I'm angry, I'm irritated because my friends were jerks at school. You just say, hey, mom, I'm in the red zone. Can you give me a little space, right? Or to your partner, like, Brian needs space when he's in the red zone. I need connection. And often we women, right, we need oxytocin is what gets us out of stress. So I need to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I need to repair. Brian needs to go in his cave. And so we've learned where if he really needs his cave, he'll say, hey, let's come back together in 30 minutes. And then I know that if I keep pushing at him because I want connection, if he's in the red zone, I'm going to create a disaster. Yes. So I really let him be now. That took a long time to have the skill to, like, not freak out even more because of my abandonment issues if he took time. But when people are in the red zone, whether it's us or others, we have to stop, slow down and breathe and recover our capacity to have conscious choice before we engage in any other conversation.
So beautiful. Thank you for saying that. What are some of the things, the practices, the rituals that we can do? You mentioned going for a walk, but can you describe a green zone lifestyle? Because when you and I got on the Zoom today, I didn't know where you lived. We met at TLC and we've had some wonderful connection on Instagram. And I feel like you're like a long lost sister to me. But then I show up wearing the green and you're wearing the green and you're like, we're in the green zone lifestyle. And you're talking about living in Montana and hiking and all the things that I love and do here in the Southern California area. But for those who are not as aware or might be living in dense cities, what are some of the qualities of a green zone lifestyle to begin to get present to or draw into and create in our lives?
I love that. Well, so the third step, right? Stop, slow down, breathe, and go for a feel-good habit. So I talk about the difference between false good habits and feel good habits. So if you think about in mythology, false gods, right? So the false gods, like the Trojan horse, they present as presence. They present as giving us what we want, but underneath is hiding a destruction, right? So
that was my cigarettes for years.
Oh my God. I loved cigarettes so much for so many years.
I would still do it if it didn't like completely destroy my health. My soul came to me last June and begged me to quit when I was sick. Yeah, so it was like, you can't unsee that. So it is
so that's
what it
the
is.
perfect definition of a false good habit. This is why it's so tricky to let them go. They temporarily feel so good. So they promise us, you know, for me, cigarettes about taking a break, taking a big inhale, like, oh, I mean, it just was like my best pause, right? Moment. But the long-term consequences is you can die from them. You smell, you know, the short-term, you know, the consequences. A feel-good habit is one that often short-term is a little harder to access, right? It's easier to pick up a cigarette than go outside and take a few deep breaths, but has long-term sustainability in helping you feel good and rewiring your brain into a higher feel-good level. And so what I do in my course is I help people design a toolkit of feel-good habits. Because if you don't know what they are and you're in the red zone and you're like, oh, I forget what my feel-good habits are, that's going to be really hard. So I have internal ones and external ones. So internal ones, it's like, wait, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to visualize that I'm going to have the best interview with Michelle this afternoon. Let's say I was nervous, which I wasn't, but let's say I was. So I can work with my thoughts. I can work with my emotions and shift them from red to green. Externally, you can do in the moment once, like if I really need to discharge energy, I'll put a song on and I'll dance, right? That discharges that red zone energy. If I have an hour, I'll take a walk. If I have extra money, I'll go get a massage. So you really learn to craft your toolkit of feel good habits that can be used in various times of your life. For people who work, they can go do jumping jacks in the meeting. And so they have to do internal habits, maybe even like remember when you kissed your kid before you left for work and suddenly your heart softens. And, you know, you don't have to get to a 10. This work isn't about getting to a 10. Even a couple points of shifting changes everything. Because the moment you're out of the red zone at all, you can start thinking consciously again. And then it just gets easier and easier and easier to get to the green zone. So it takes time to become a 9 or 10 human being. So that is
that.
To be patient.
Thank you. Well, patience, that would be definitely in the green zone, right? So the more that we just allow ourselves, you know, the ways in which we can drop into that portal, if you will, and the more that we will grow and expand in our capacity to even be at ease in the green zone, because I think so many of us are wired from so much that's happened in our younger years, right? So there's this predisposition in our energy, in the anxiety, that's that low grade anxiety you talked about, that we don't even have the capacity to sustain the green zone. So what I love about even the pyramid visual is this is where we are meant to be. This is our intrinsic birthright. This is our innate nature, right? Living in the heart, living in unity consciousness, loving relationships, especially about self. So it is almost like an acquired capacity, right?
Oh, no,
which
no,
is
not
really
almost.
Sad because it should be our natural capacity, but we're relearning how to be.
Well, it's actually, when you say it's our innate, it's our soul's innate capacity. It's actually not our body's innate capacity. We have an outdated brain that's called the limbic brain that actually still has not evolved to modern times. So it's still behaving as though we are in constant danger. So what I always say is that it's not your fault that you live in the red zone or yellow zone so much, but it is your responsibility once you learn this tool to shift yourself out of it. So we have evolution against us. We have trauma, childhood trauma against us. We have a culture that values burnout. I've worked so hard, how busy we are. We have a lot that really stands is against our capacity to feel good, not just being. It's taken me, I just turned 61. It's taken me 55 years to get to, like, the last couple of months I had more time because it was the holiday season and a bunch of different reasons. I was like, for the first time in my life, I could actually just be and not be, but wait, I should be doing, oh, wait, I should be doing this. Like, so it's actually a huge thing to learn to be at a 9 or 10. It takes work to get to feeling good, which is a funny thing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, these days, I mean, that's just kind of where I am. So my whole lifestyle, and I was not this way. I was not only a type A, I was a triple type A. And I wore that badge like it was an honor, right? Like I would even introduce myself as like, I'm a triple type A. I had no awareness of how that was robbing me of anything in the green zone. And then, as you know, like 2.5 years ago, my life really took a complete turn upside down in the best possible way. So now my whole lifestyle, even leaving Santa Monica out here in the mountains, you know, by 90, 95% of the time, I'm there. And I'm saying that with such honesty and humility, like such gratitude, because I know the devotion that it's taken me to get here. So when I put myself in the real world, i.e. getting on airplanes and going to a big event like TLC, which I said no in July for Belfast, Ireland, where you were, I said yes, and then I said no because I needed to be sure it was a really pure yes for me, and it wasn't hinged on any external validation. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I had to call them back and be like, I'm sorry, I can't go. I need more time to feel into if this is still aligned for me, because it had been a dream for years. Anyway, but getting on the airplane and being at airports and being in traffic, because I don't drive much. Like I literally love my life. It's like I'm living in Montana, you know? But that's when you have an opportunity, I'll say me, all these little red zones were popping up. Because it wasn't in my normal reality. And I was like, oh, so the way that I looked at that was, these are catalysts to be integrated of, am I really who I say I am? And it was like, oh, work is up, right? And so it was time for me to truly walk my talk. Much easier said than done when you're about to take a stage or the floor or next to the stage with some of the most, you know, esteemed, well-known leaders in the world in the space of self-development. And so your methodology was really, really powerful for me, because now I can look back in any moment in life where we have to be in the real world at times, but I can catch it. And I'm like, is this red zone? Is this green zone? What is it? And I can appreciate even being on the cusp. Like when I'm kind of yellow and I feel it's turning more turquoise, you know, I'm like, oh, what would I need to do right now to really make this green zone? And so for that, it's usually more spaciousness, more stillness, slowing myself down. That for me is what feels really resonant for green zone. There's no rushing, even in the way that I speak, I eat, I walk, and I'm not always there, FYI, but I've just noticed the slowing down. It feels like a miracle. And now I have a way in which to gauge, and it's so simple, but yet so profound. Oh my goodness.
I have yet to find any problem or anything in the world of self-development where I can't apply the work. It's like, you know, the more you do this work, you start realizing, like when people start using the work of, they're like, I'm at a 7.25, you know, like it starts becoming that you just become subtler and subtler. You know, I love what you said. It's like when I'm on the cusp of yellow to green, like, so you're like a 6 or 7, like, then it's like, oh, if I just slow down, I'm going to get to a 9 or 10. And
And
it's
why
like,
wouldn't we give that gift to ourselves?
because again, we're not educated or wired, we're not taught, or we're not wired for that to be the automatic thing. We're wired for the negativity bias, we're wired to be hypervigilant about our environment. We're not wired to sit at the, you know, as cave people, just to sit around and do nothing. We're wired to watch for danger, for, you know, an aggressive tribe or for an animal. And we still have a brain that thinks we're in those times. It's just
Well,
astounding.
many of my listeners from everything going on in the world right now will say, oh, honey, we are there. We are in these times. I mean,
I can
so
understand
I
that.
know you do. And so there is that, but at the same time, we can't control what happens in the external macro perspective of the matrix, if you will. But we can get really clear about where we are in our own hearts, right? And so, how's a way to begin to measure, you know, whether or not we are truly in the green zone, or if we really are on that cusp? Because I'm imagining most of our listeners and viewers, they're longing to reside in the green zone. Who wouldn't really? There are some that are a bit addicted. You are right. Like they are addicted, maybe unconsciously, to the energetic, like the shadow frequency of red. They don't even know that they become addicted to it, right? And I was one, so that's how I can speak from it. But let's say you've done a lot of deep inner work in the last few years. A lot of us have turned inward. We are letting go of what no longer serves, right? A lot of relationships are shifting, and perspective is shifting. How do we start to, yeah, what are some of the ways that we can invite ourselves to deepen into the green?
Well, first of all, I want to talk real quick about the addiction. You know, Joe Dispenza talks about this. It's a thing. We are literally addicted to stress and to adrenaline and to trauma. Like when Brian and I divorced, I was addicted to chaos and conflict at that point. I was addicted to a level three relationship. I did not know how to really be loving because I grew up in such a chaotic, conflict-ridden household. That was my template. So for anybody who's like, oh, that's me, that's your template. You weren't born being a three. It's like, so I just want to really give grace to living in that addiction because it's so freaking painful. And from time to time, we can see it, but we don't know how the heck to get out of it, which is one of the reasons I created this methodology, because you don't have to, you can study it for 20 years, but you don't have to in order to start feeling better right away.
Yeah,
right?
You can integrate it instantly. That's instantly. What I love about this work is that you can actually create instant relief for yourself. And I want to be clear before you move into some of those concepts of when we're on the cusp and we really want to open into the green zone for ourselves and give ourselves that gift of coming home. It's, I lost my train of thought. Did you remember?
No, but what I love is I'm just redoing my website and one of the sentences, and it's so simple. I just decided to only tell what this work does through storytelling. And so it's like just three sentences, but the second sentence is, it helps you like track your stress levels and then uses three steps to help to guide you back home where peace, love, and joy live. So I just want to honor that you called it home because that's what I call it too. And so then the green zone thing. So for me, going to nature, you know, walking, but sometimes I can walk and I'm a seven just because nature is doing that. But I might be kind of obsessing about something at work. And then I'm like, whoa, I'm at a seven. I'll put my phone away and then I'll suddenly pay attention to the birds and the water, right? So I can have a great day, but I might just be at a seven because I'm a little wound up. My mind is going a little fast. Meditation, you know, I lead guided meditations as well as I do my own meditation. So always like it gets me to the green zone. Just like you said, the slowing down. But what's tricky is like you and I, we started speeding up because of our enthusiasm. And one of my favorite words in the English language is enthusiasm because it actually means filled with God.
Yes, filled with spirit.
So,
filled with God, yes.
Right. And so we have to find a way, women like you and I who get so enthusiastic about things, is like, how do we have our enthusiasm while being grounded? So that's something I have to work on a lot. Like even you're naming it, oh, we're going fast. So we were probably at an 8, 9. We were so happy and joyous, but I'm so much more powerful when I slow down. I am so much more impactful. I mean, you notice my voice slowing down, like there's more spaciousness. People can absorb my energy more than when I'm going really fast. So it's just I'll say one more really important point.
Please.
The 10 is relative and subjective. My 10 3 years ago is a really different 10 than today. I never thought I could be this happy ever. So I want people to think, when you said, what's their 10? They will know, oh my God, this is the best I have ever felt. Like this feel, that's your 10 for today. Maybe in a year, it's going to be like, wow, that was like an 8. But you've changed so much and rewired your brain so much that your 10 just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, that's so beautifully said. And I know that we're about to wind out this conversation. It's been so fun. I do want to say with you that Christine Lang and I, she was also an invited guest at TLC, and she was recently on the show and it's very, very popular with our community. And the two of us also just sped up. It was like two little girls just like so excited to play in the green zone, really, you know? So I feel it. And that can happen, you know, it's a chemistry, it's a synergy, and I love that. But I also know that I agree with you. Like, and you know, I'll use an example. Remember when Dr. Sue Mortar took the stage? She's an example for me of the embodiment of the green zone without any fluff, right? She was just so calm and just so present and so grounded. And I was like, oh, that is a good model for me. That's because I come off very big energy as well. And I, but I love it all. I honestly think it all belongs. I'm extremely dynamic, multi-passionate. That is me. It is my natural essence. So I love it all. But what I wanted to do is a couple things. Is first of all, I wanted just to remind my community of some of my green zone activities, and they know that I'm very devoted, and this is why I can catch energy so fast now and be so accurate in my own life and many others. Is I got rid of the TV. You know, I'm not telling anyone to do that. This is just what truly changed my life. And because I would have the quote news, which we know there's no such thing as real news, on, and it was just constantly a very negative, low vibration frequency coming into my home. So I got rid of that, and I replaced my television with my altar. So I have a sacred altar. And so I'm really, really devout. Like, it's almost daily. And now I've woven in breath work and meditation, because I used to go sit and listen and pray and cleanse and purify and just wait, what else is there? And sometimes an hour in, little itty tiny, tiny tuck of a thread. And I realized how long it was, and it was anxiety that had been there my whole life, right? So that kind of stuff. But so for me, there's not a whole lot that I'm willing to engage in that would take me out of green zone, right? So I am so grateful, though, that now I have green, yellow, red. Where am I? And I want to reside there. And I want to reside there when I'm triggered. That's my next thing, is like, ooh, when that family member says that thing at that holiday, right? Can I bring myself back to green zone? And I think we can. And I want to wrap with this.
No doubt. Wait, I want to say a quick thing.
Yeah.
I love all your practices. And as I told you before we got on, I'm really snarky too. And I, you know, we are not we're not human beings learning to be spiritual. We're spiritual beings learning to be human. So for me, I watch the Housewives. I eat Rolos. Like, I don't just do spiritual things, because I think that I'll do spiritual things when I'm dead all the time. Like, I want to be a human being. So I just want to make sure people know, like, your green zone is your green zone is your green zone. Yes. You pick. If I watch Housewives and I'm judging and critical the whole time, you know, like Beverly Hills, I'm not in the green zone. That means I've spent an hour of my day in the red zone. If I watch the Housewives going, wow, they have a lot of courage to kind of, you know, so we can do anything, even what looks like could be a bad red zone activity, but we can do it from the green zone. I really wanted to say that to people.
Fair enough. And listen, also to it, listen, again, I am not at all everyone's cup of tea in terms of my practices. I live alone with three animals. I can turn my living room into my own private sanctuary that I do every single night. It's a very beautiful routine and ritual that I have. But like my Housewives, I used to watch the Housewives. I was religious about the Housewives for years and years and years, but that also went away about 2.5 years ago. But what I would replace it with, and I do very little of this now, but I went on a massive binge on doomsday scrolling, right? So it was like, I just replaced it with something else. And so that is something that can happen too. So again, I don't think anything is really bad. We learn from these things. They're catalyst integrations, and we get to just constantly assess, where am I? Where do I want to be? Where do I want to be? And what would it take for me to get there right now? And that's what your methodology is.
You just said it. Where am I? Where do I want to be? How do I use the three steps to get me
there? That's
it. That was it. You just said it.
Yes. Okay. And then I want to just honor you with one final thing. There's so much that I can honor you with. But do you remember the process that we did on the last day? It was the afternoon of our final day before the grand finale gala. And we were all put into like little groups of five or six people. Do you remember what the final question was that then we would have the ambassador of our little group stand up and speak to what we want to, it was how we want to put, it was what we wanted to share from our group gathering and sharing really intimate personal stuff that each of us were talking about, to find our commonality, to find our universality, right? Instead of all the polarization that can happen, that is happening everywhere. But do you remember what that question was? Because then it would honor you. I don't remember what the question was.
I don't remember. I would have notes somewhere. I don't.
It was like something like the ultimate takeaway from your time. And then I was with like Lisa Nichols and Jack Canfield. And like, I mean, it was a really powerful little, there wasn't one that wasn't, but like, I was really happy to be in the one that I was in. But do you want to know that what we decided was the ultimate takeaway to stand up and share for everyone in the big, you know, ballroom, we talked about live with a green zone heart. So out of everything from the whole 5 days together and everything that we all were sharing in our little private groups, what we came up with was, as if we all just stayed in the green zone, we would live with heaven on earth reality every day. There would be no separation. There would be no polarization. There would be no disharmony in relationships, which is the barometer for green zone. Let's face it, right? Relationship with self and relationship with anyone else. And so I just want to honor you with that, because it was such a beautiful moment, but it was a tangible too, because everyone in the room was like, yes, we all got it. And we're like, and that's so simple. There is nothing stopping me from embodying this when I choose to remember it.
Best honoring ever. Thank you so much. There's nothing I need to say except to be like, I'm going to remember this story forever.
Oh, well,
thank
honey,
you.
You put in the work, and it was your vulnerability and your transparency and your courage to be so authentic that allowed us to fully get what you were bringing to the party, you know? So I want to say thank you. And also thank you for sharing the vulnerable story about today and just getting the kitchen ready. Because
I hope he wasn't hearing me. I'm like, oops, I don't know if I was supposed to share
that. But see, but this is life, and life is happening in real time. And by no means, no, there's not a single soul walking this planet right now that's living green zone 100% of the time. But it's a beautiful pathway to dedicate ourselves to get on. And well, that's again, what I see.
And it's about, do you notice you're out and come back in? Do you notice you got come back in? It's you're not all the time. The miracle actually occurs in the coming back, coming back, coming back. So yeah, people, yeah. Listeners, if you practice this, don't give yourself a hard time for leaving the green zone. Give yourself kudos for coming, for recognizing and coming back. That's what we celebrate.
I love that. So beautiful. And what a perfect spot to put a bow on this. But one final question. Well, there's two. Is there anything that you wish I would have asked that feels like it needs to be said? And then how can our listeners and viewers find you?
No, I realize I didn't talk about the God response and separation response much. So I'll have to come back and we can talk more deeply about
back.
That.
We would
and then what
that.
Was the second question?
Where's the best place for our viewers and listeners to find you?
We just got the website. I can't believe it was available. The method, it was used to be called isabeltierney.com, but it's themethodology.org. Themethodology.org.
And I love you right now. Oh my gosh, I love it when we get excited about the things that we, you know, discover. It's like, it should be like this, childlike.
And there's a quiz. If you go on the website, there's a quiz, a life audit quiz, where people then can look at health, relationships, career, spirituality, and get a life audit about whether they're in red, yellow, green. That's a fabulous quiz. So take the quiz. And you can just go straight to the quiz. It's lifeauditquiz.com. That's another thing you can do. Life audit quiz. And you're going to probably have it, I imagine.
Make sure that notes. Can you please send me those links? Because I don't have them on your bio. So send me all the links, and then we'll be sure to leave that all in the show notes. But Isabel, I knew this was going to be really fun and alive and juicy, and it certainly was. And I honor your path. I honor everything that you've gone through and such a hard childhood on so many levels. And yet you're here so that you can fully empathize in the most authentic way, right? For whatever we may be experiencing that's got us in the red temporarily. And so I just want to say thank you for who you be and for giving us your time to come on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much. It was truly my honor and my fun and my green zone to be with you.
Thank you for listening to Fire and Soul. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your favorite pod player. And if you'd like to connect on social, you can find me anywhere at Michelle Sorrow. Or if you'd like to reach out to me directly, you can at fireandsoulpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.